any compulsive behavior?
Yeah, because we follow Vedic principles.
Mm.
So Vedas declare that these four kinds of activities are sinful. So we accept. Our authority is Veda. Just like lawyer's authority is law book.
Would you say there are more sins than those four?
What is that?
Are there other sins?
Are there other sins besides these four?
These are the basic principle of sinful life. Other sinful activities come out of it. Just like illicit sex life, illicit relationship of a man and woman, there may be many dangerous things, you see. So the basic principle is the illicit sex life. Now it can go up to murdering and so many things. So if we avoid the basic principles, the further subsidiary sinful activities automatically stopped.
But I haven't remembered the four, but is one of those basic principles concerned with truth?
Yes.
Which one? I've forgotten.
Because Veda means knowledge. Knowledge means truth. Unless you come to the knowledge of truth, the knowledge is not perfect.
But do you specifically have a precept against telling a lie or against hypocrisy?
Well, hypocrisy and other things, they are subsidiary. If one is pure from the very beginning, that there is no chance of becoming hypocrite. Why he should be hypocrite? If he is open, clear, why one should become hypocrite? Hypocrisy, when there is sinful activity, then hypocrisy. If there is no sin, where is the possibility of hypocrisy? A sinful man may pose himself a religious man, that is hypocrisy.
Yes.
But if there is no sin, then where is hypocrisy?
What I didn't understand is how this is covered by your four pillars. Which of these would cover lying?
Lying?
Yes, telling lies.
That I've already explained.
Yes, but which of those four pillars?
All of them.
Mm.
And it's like one is indulging in intoxication. He may say that I am very pure. But how one can become pure? He is addicted to intoxicants. So I heard from one of my disciples that there is a hospital in USA, like 5,000 priests are there for curing the intoxication heavy. Do you know that?
I didn't know that number. I know that there are hospitals and
so
sanatoriums.
If the priest is going to hospital for curing his intoxication habit, he's a hypocrite.
He would admit that, wouldn't
yeah.
he? I mean, the priest
How
himself.
A priest can be intoxicant?
He would say, wouldn't he, that was just his weakness. He would say it was his weakness.
Weakness is hypocrisy. If you are weak, you cannot become priest because you are teacher, religious teacher. You should not take that post. That is hypocrisy.
But perhaps this is the difference, or one of the differences, between Western and Eastern civilization.
No, it is not the question of Eastern and Western.
In the East, your wise man is nearly always an elderly man.
Not always.
Not always.
Not always.
But in the West, you know, your priest is generally made a priest in his early 20s. Then he has thrust upon him the role of the wise man, which he doesn't always seek.
Just like these boys, they're very young, 20s, between 20 to 30. So they are made here brahmachari, and some of them are sannyasi, but they're strictly following these principles. And because they're young men, there cannot be any concession that he can become intoxicants, he can indulge in meat eating. No.
But would you think of a young man as a wise man? Isn't it normal that a young man is working his way towards wisdom?
The wise man becomes by knowledge, not by age. Even an old man, if he has no knowledge, well, what is he? He's not wise man. Wise means one who has attained knowledge. He may be young, he may be old, it doesn't matter. Vidyatvam vayasavina in Sanskrit word. One becomes elderly without being advanced in age. That means he knows the knowledge, therefore he is elderly. Elderly person means advanced in knowledge, not by age.
But, you see, knowledge and attainment aren't the same thing. You know, I may know that it is wrong to be an alcoholic, and maybe I am not actually physically an alcoholic, but it doesn't mean to say that interiorly I have cleansed myself of all addiction. You know, the fact that you are not drinking for a year doesn't mean to say that you have overcome the intoxicant urge, if that is in you. Okay. Although you know it is wrong.
Now, this argument is not very strong. Just like one foodstuff, freshly made, it is fresh. But if somebody argues that if it remains 4 days more, it will become bad. That is sermonization. Now it is fresh, we take it fresh. What will happen in future, there is no consideration. In future, everyone may fall and everyone may become elevated. But we have to take his present situation, what he is at present.
But couldn't it be the difference between appearance and reality?
This is reality. If at the present moment he is free from all sinful activities, that is reality. In future, everyone is susceptible to fall down if he does not carry the principles strictly. That proneness is there, but that is not consideration. What he is at present, that is consideration.
But what he is at present may be an accident.
Why accident? It is actually happening. Why it is accident?
Well, for instance, if you take a man shipwrecked on an island alone, he is not in any sense taking part in impure love or illicit love. But it doesn't mean to say that he is free from all desire for illicit love.
No, nobody is free. But so long he acts nicely, he is nice.
So it is the action rather, no, the exterior rather than the interior.
Interior, well, of course, everyone has got interior tendency, but practicing actually, exteriorly, that interior also is reformed. That is, by external behavior, the interior behavior also becomes fixed up by practice. Therefore, there is regular class so that he may be purified internally and externally. Sa bhajabhantaram suci. Jasmare pundarikakham sa bhajabhantaram suci. If you constantly remember the Supreme Lord, so you become automatically purified internally and externally. Because the Lord is absolute. So if we chant the Lord's holy name, the name is also Lord. He has no difference between his name and himself.
But you see, we make a difference between the law and the spirit of the law, or the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And we can say a man can keep the letter of the law without in any way keeping the spirit of the law.
No, that is materially different. But spiritually
that is different.
No, spiritually the Lord and his name, the Lord and his form, the Lord and his quality, they're all identical.
There's a little misunderstanding. Prabhupada is saying Lord.
Yeah, no, you're saying Lord. Lord. I'm sorry. I was saying law.
No.
Law, no, the command.
Yeah. Lord.
Yes. That you can have the letter of the law.
No, I'm not speaking of law.
No, I'm saying,
talking of Lord.
Yes.
So Lord and Lord's name, they're the same, identical. Just like we are chanting Hare Krishna. So, this Krishna name and the Krishna person, identical. Because the Lord is absolute. In the material world, the world of duality, the name is not the substance. If you require water, simply by chanting water, water, your thirst will not be quenched. You require the substance water. But the spiritual world, the Lord and his name, the same thing. If you chant the Lord's name, Krishna, or any name of Lord, that is identical with the Lord. Therefore, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, you are associating with the Lord. And as soon as you associate with the Lord, you become purified. The Lord is all pure. Just like if you associate with fire, you become warm. Similarly, if you constantly associate with the Lord, you remain purified. Therefore, our principle is, they are always chanting, just like I am chanting also, or reading some book, or talking with you about Krishna. So we are always connected with Krishna, our God, in all our activities. The whole house, you'll see, they're engaged in some sort of work which has connection with Krishna. There is no other one. So, nirbandha Krishna sambandhe, anything attached with God, that is also godly.
I can see what Father Tanner means about the spiritual man on the outside not necessarily being pure on the inside.
No, he's not spiritual man. He's a hypocrite.
Well, this is...
He must be inside and outside correct. If one is outside correct, inside wrong, he's not spiritual man.
But
we don't accept him.
You begin with the outside.
No, inside and outside, both.
But your principles attain to the outside man.
outside man.
The actions, the
saying that the four pillars which we follow are outward manifestations. They belong to a material person.
Outward manifestation. Mm. So outward manifestation, just like outwardly, iron rod, it is iron. Iron. You follow me?
Yes, iron.
But you put the iron in the fire.
Yes.
So the iron becomes warm, and at last it becomes red hot. When the iron is red hot, it is no longer iron. It is fire. If you touch anywhere, it will burn. Although apparently it is iron rod, but because it has become red hot, it is fire. Similarly, if you constantly keep in spiritual activities, your outward body, although it is iron or matter, it becomes spiritualized. Try to understand this example. Iron rod put into the fire, when it is red hot, it is no longer iron rod, it is fire. Similarly, this body or the material, if you constantly keep in touch with spiritual activities, then it is no longer material, it is spiritual. The body is also spiritual.
And how long do you think this takes to...
So long you keep in spiritual activities.
For a young man or a young woman beginning?
Well, I said that there is every chance of falling down. That is up to you to keep fit. Otherwise there is chance of falling down. But even if he falls down, whatever he has done, that is permanent.
You see, in your example, if you take your iron that is hot, once it's been immerged into the fire and is hot, then it must always burn, whatever you touch.
Yeah, that's what I say.
It's becoming. If you take your person, your spiritual man, or the person who's trying to become a spiritual man, and he could have done his best to make contact with the spirit, he doesn't always, after that, be spiritual. He knew your iron has to burn. Yeah. He hasn't got to be spiritual.
No. If you keep the iron always hot, it is fire. Is it not?
Mm.
Similarly, if you always keep yourself within the spiritual activities, then you are spirit.
See, I don't think that the spiritual activities, which are external forms, can really, of themselves, change the internal man.
Yes, it changes. Now, actually, you can see here.
You can have a person who goes to church every Sunday, who says his prayer.
No, our program is not like that. We go after 7 days. We are 24-hour Sundays.
Yes, but all I'm saying, you can have this, and they are not spiritual.
No, why not spiritual?
And that is, you know, spiritual. I don't know your disciples.
But that you have to learn.
Your disciples, but it is possible that some of them, even with 24-hour-a-day exercises, fail to become spiritual.
Our program here is like that. We have got DTs, 6 times, Aratri, in preparation for that, cleansing the temple room, washing the dishes of the deity, cooking for the deity, arranging for the other things. So they are always thinking of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness. Just like we have got so many books. They are reading books of Krishna. This is also Krishna consciousness. So, or they are going to Sankirtan party, that is also Krishna consciousness. So it is a question of practice and practical understanding. Theoretically one cannot understand. But we have got 24 hours engagement for these boys. Not a single moment lost. In this way we train them.
You see, I don't see the difference externally between that and brainwashing.
That suppose you are washing the floor of the temple, it is not external. Because there is Krishna consciousness. He is washing the floor or washing the dishes for Krishna. So the consciousness is there. So actually our life is consciousness. If your full consciousness is only for God, then you remain always godly. There is no doubt about it. If you make division, it's so much for worldly and so much for godly, then there is difference. But if you dovetail everything towards the service of the Lord, then anything you do, that is godly.
Would you think it is possible to hate the deity?
Hate?
Hate the deity.
Why?
Is it possible?
No, a devotee cannot hate the deity. How can he say?
Because you can see the deity as too strong, repressive, taking away your freedom, your own wishes.
Yes.
And so you can come to hate.
Spiritualism means to sacrifice your freedom. That is spiritualism. You have no more freedom. You are simply engaged for God's service. That is spiritualism.
Why were we created free?
Huh?
Why were we created?
You are not free. You are thinking so-called free. You are not free. You are under the stringent laws of nature. You are not free. But you are thinking foolishly that you are free.
But if I'm not free,
yeah,
then I can't give up my freedom for religion.
You are free to some extent. Because you are part and parcel of God. God is completely free. So because you are part and parcel of God, therefore you have got that minute freedom. That minute freedom, when you misuse for other purposes, then you fall down. But if you use that freedom for the service of the Lord, you have got freedom. You may serve the Lord, you may not serve. That is your freedom. But if you serve the Lord, then you become happy. If you do not serve the Lord, then you become unhappy.
If I serve the Lord, do I lose that little bit of freedom?
Because you are meant for that part.
Do I lose that little bit of freedom?
That is real freedom. Just like this, my finger is part and parcel of my body. So long the finger serves the body, it is healthy. If it is painful, it cannot serve, then it is unhealthy. Similarly, a living entity, when it cannot serve God, that is his material condition or unhealthy condition. When it serves God, that is his natural condition, because it is part and parcel of God.
Where did we lose the contact with God?
When you misuse your freedom, you have got little freedom.
But at what point did I, or a child, lose its contact with its Creator?
Yeah, it is said, suppose I am serving my Master, I can think of, why shall I serve Him? I shall become independent. That is my freedom. Little freedom. So I cannot become independent. That is not my healthy stage. Just like, take for example, a dog. A dog is healthy when he has got a good master. And if he hasn't got a good master, he's a street dog, neglected. He's not healthy. Similarly, our position is like that. that we must be dependent on God. Therefore, in your Christian Bible also, you go for your bread. God give us our daily bread. So you are dependent. So it is better to remain dependent on God than to use your so-called little freedom.
But your dog can be healthy in two ways, can't he? The dog can be healthy if he has a good master, and he can be healthy if he has no master.
Yes.
If your dog is just running free in its natural state,
yes,
he is a healthy animal.
No, a dog is not healthy. I'm giving that particular example. Then he's a street dog. A street dog has no position, he's not healthy. I'm giving a crude example that the dog's position. Similarly, we are all dependent on God. That is in your Bible also, that you are dependent.
Yes, I accept.
So to remain dependent on God is our healthy state. As soon as we declare independent of God, that is our unhealthy state. This is our philosophy, and your philosophy also. To remain, that is the basic injunction, that nitya nityanam chetanas chetananam eko jo bahunam vidadati kaman. What is the difference between God and ourselves? God is also a living entity like us, but he is the chief living entity. He is maintaining all others. Therefore we have to ask God, give us our belief. He is the maintainer. We are maintained. Just like in a family, the father is the maintainer, and the mother and the children and the servants, they are maintained. Similarly, the whole universe, whole creation, it is maintained by God. And we living entities within this universe or within this creation, we are maintained. So as we are maintained, it is better to remain dependent on God than to declare our freedom.
But you can, in this world, within the limits of time and space,
yes,
be a healthy person without admitting your dependence on God.
Yes, we are depending. We have no business.
You can be healthy and live...
And healthy? What do you mean by healthy?
Well, you know, you were saying is what a man does that makes him that. If he is pure here and now, then, you know, it's not his inside, it's his
exterior. Our description of healthy life is to become God conscious. That is healthy life. Otherwise, do you think that an animal like elephant, very strong, does it mean that it is healthy? No.
But I would say an elephant can be healthy. My body can be healthy.
That is temporary. Everyone is subjected to death. So you may be very strong, healthy, but you cannot avoid death.
No.
Therefore, ultimately you become so-called healthy or not healthy, you'll die. That is a fact. So we do not want that kind of healthy life. Our proposition is that we go back to home, back to Godhead, and remain with God eternally, enjoying blissful life. This is our healthy life.
I accept these principles, but you know, the words, I would say you can be healthy, but you know, when you go to God at the end, this isn't on your physical healthiness.
No.
This is on your
spiritual. When you go to God, you go in your spiritual body.
Yes.
Spiritual.
So, but you can be physically healthy.
Spiritually, when you get your spiritual body, there is no such material inconveniences. The material inconveniences mean, so long you have got this material body, you are subjected to birth, death, old age and disease. When you revive your spiritual body, these four things are not visible. No more birth, no more death, no more disease, no more old age. This is the difference between spiritual life and material life.
Yes, I mean this, I think, you know, anyone who's in any sense spiritual or religious or ethical would admit, because the spiritual body has no parts, and so cannot start to be or cease to be, and cannot change within its own entity.
Well, spiritual body is there already. You know, just like you have got your body, the coat is made according to your body. You existed first, your coat was made later on. Similarly, spiritually we exist eternally. Now, according to our different types of activities, we get a body, material body. There are 8,400,000 different forms of body. So the spirit soul is transmigrating according to its desire and want to different types of body. This is called transmigration of the soul.
You would hold that the spirit is eternal,
yes,
in the sense that in the beginning all spirits were contained within the deity,
yes,
and at the end all spirits will refind themselves in the deity.
Yes.
What would you ever admit that a spirit could fail after his last journey?
That misuse of little independence that I've already taught. He has got little independence. So long he is engaged in the service of the Lord, he remains in his spiritual body along with the Lord.
Now I'm saying, is it possible for any spirit not ultimately, after its various transmigrations through bodies,
yes,
is it possible for any spirit never to regain contact with the Lord?
Yes. If he comes in contact with a servant of God, then he revives his old consciousness, original consciousness.
Prabhupada, what would you say was, is it possible for a spirit soul never to regain state of God consciousness?
No, why never? He has got chance. When he comes in contact with the servant of the Lord, he revives his Krishna consciousness. Then he begins his spiritual life. So how can you say?
But is it possible, you know, the world one day will end, and physical bodies will end?
No, that is not possible.
The world will not end.
All will end.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I'm saying, when this time comes, when all physical things end, will any of the spirits fail to reunite with the Godhead?
As soon as he likes to reunite. That is, that depends on his liking or not liking.
But would you admit...
There is no... You are talking of mechanical way. But I am talking of that little independence. As soon as the living entity desires to unite with the Supreme Lord, he can become.
Yes, but will it ever...
But so long he does not desire, he will have to continue this material existence.
And
so that depends on him.
And could that go on and on forever, his not desiring?
Well, how can I say? You have got independence of desire and not to desire. That depends on you. If you never desire, then you continue perpetual material life. But there is chance.
And now, taking that person, when material things cease, what happens to him?
Material things, material and spiritual, the living entities, they are spiritual. The material elements, earth, water, fire, they are also material energy. There are two kinds of energies. Three kinds of energies. Just like fire has got two kinds of energies, heat and light. Similarly, God has got multi-energies. All those multi-energies have been divided into three. One is called internal, other is called external, and the third is called marginal. So, this material world is manifestation of the external and marginal energy. So So in the material world ceases to exist or it is dissolved, annihilated. So energy goes back to God. It goes back. Again, when there is creation, the same energy creates. The marginal energy, by the marginal energy and external energy. This is going on. Just like day and night, it is going on. At daytime, people are busy. This is creation. At night, everyone is sleeping. Similarly, when there is creation, these activities are going on. When there is no creation, it is night, everyone is sleeping.
Is there a spirit opposed to the Divine Spirit?
Spirit
opposed to, is taking that the, you know, that God,
yeah,
is good.
Yeah.
Is there another spirit that is not good?
No, we are all another spirit. Just like the Father and the Son. The Father is also spirit. The Son is also another spirit.
Can there be opposition in the spirit world?
Yes.
Conflict,
yes,
in the spirit world?
Yes. Just like Father has got 10 sons. Some of them are opposition to the Father. And some of them are very obedient.
But I'm not saying of the spirit in man, I'm saying of spirits in themselves.
Yeah, spirit in themselves.
Can they be in opposition?
No. When they are in opposition, they have to accept this material body. Just like the citizens in the prison house, it means they are all in opposition to the laws of the state. Similarly, anyone who is in this material world, they are in opposition to the supreme will of the Lord. Therefore, they are put into this material world in varieties of life. So, they can stop that opposition and again go back to home, back to God.
I have to go,
don't
you? I'm sorry, Mrs. Walsh has to go, so, and you look very tired.
No, I'm not tired, I'm a little old.
So we have the devil within us.
Give them prasad.
Thank you, Alan.
So our movement is, you are training people to revive their original God consciousness and go back to home, back to God.
Can I this up?
Yes.
Is it back?
No.
Is it?
She asked if it was fattening. She asked if it was fattening.
Fattening?
It would make her heavy.
No. You have seen all our books?
I have got several of your books.
I see, thank you. So we are approaching people to become God conscious. That's all. Get the light on. And in the Bhagavad it is stated, Savaipumsang paro dharma jato bhakti radhokhaji. That is first-class religion, which teaches people how to love God. That is first-class religion. It doesn't matter whether it is Hindu religion or Christian religion or Mohammedan religion. If it teaches the followers how to love God, then it is first-class.
I think I'm almost only teaching them to love one another.
Yes. No, one and another, that is going on in so many ways. You see, that has never become successful, neither it will become successful. That is a fact. Because here the atmosphere is so surcharged with material idea that even if I want to love you, you may not like it. That is the position here. So you cannot be successful to teach people to love one another. That will never be successful. That has never been successful. But if you can teach people how to love God.
How about teaching them how to love themselves?
Huh?
How about teaching them to love themselves?
Everyone is loving themselves.
Do you
think so? That does not require teaching. How to eat, you love your body, therefore you eat.
I didn't mean that sort of love.
Huh?
I didn't mean that sort of love.
Then what kind of love?
The loving your own being for what God gave you. Loving yourself as you are, accepting yourself. That's very difficult, you know.
I do not follow. What is that?
Loving your own personality.
Then loving your personality, first of all you know what you are. What is your personality?
But
if you do not know what you are, then how can you love yourself?
This is the problem.
Yes.
But you can
what you are. If I ask you what you are, can you answer?
No.
Then? What
but
can
I think
love?
I could say that, you know, I am so
that
many...
If you do not know what you are...
No, I'm saying I do know.
If you know,
yeah.
Then tell me what you are.
So many things it would take a long time to say.
Quite a long time. You can speak in a short nutshell.
No, because, you know, in some ways...
We can say.
In some ways I am very intolerant, in some ways I am very
tolerant. That is another thing. First of all, I must know what is my identity.
But my identity is made up of so many, it's not one thing.
But so that one, first of all, one. We say that my identity is that I am eternal servant of God. This is my identity.
Well, this is the inner being, but then it finds expression in me.
Now, as servant of God,
and
I may have many activities, but my identity is that I am eternal servant of God. This is our identity. So, if I love myself because I am eternal servant of God, therefore, if I love myself, I must always engage myself in the service of the Lord. This is love.
But there must, in yourself, there must be times when you are angry, times when you are patient.
I can become angry for God.
Times when you are
proud, God say,
times when you are humble.
Suppose you are serving some master. For the master's satisfaction, you sometimes become angry.
But I think what Susan was saying is our personality.
And I, first of all, if you keep your identity fixed up, even if you become angry, it is not bad.
No, but you can become it. What, you know, we are saying is...
Suppose just like I tell you that a dog is your servant. It is standing on the door. Some thief is coming. If the dog becomes angry, bow, bow, bow. So that to become angry is not bad for the dog.
No.
Because he's serving the master. So similarly, if you are fixed up in your business as servant of the Lord, so even if you become angry for Lord's service, that is not bad.
But you think the dog might bite his master?
No.
Yes, he can.
I don't think... Anyway, that is dog, that's a crude example, but a spirit soul, when he is fixed up in the service of the Lord, he does not bite his master.
Twice.
He does not, he only serves. So we must know, if I actually love myself, first of all I know what I am. If I know, then I can properly love myself. If I do not know what I am, if I think that I am this body, this conception the dog has also. He is also thinking I am this body. To keep this body in fitness, to eat nicely, to sleep nicely, this consciousness is there in cats and dogs. So therefore, as spirit soul, as human being, first of all you know whether I am this body or something else.
But you know what you are and what you become. Mm-hmm. I hate what I am. I want to become something different. Now this is the
same... That is your freedom. You can do.
This is the same as a material man saying, I want to become spiritual or God conscious or what have you. But you know, because I want to become this, it doesn't mean that I am this. Because I want to become God's servant, it doesn't mean that I am God's servant.
You want or not want. That is not the question. First of all, you must know what is your real identity. You do not want and do want that independence you have got, always. That is a different thing. But first of all, you must know what is your identity. Your identity is, that I have already explained, you are part and parcel of God. So far we understand, our philosophy is, from Bhagavad Gita, Mamaivamsa. The whole thing is one unity, unit. And everything is part and parcel of God, His energy. So we, the marginal living entities, we are also part and parcel of God. As part and parcel of God, what is my duty? Just like this finger, there is itching, immediately it comes, serves, itching, helps to keep the body in good condition. But similarly, as part and parcel of God, our duty is to serve God so that He may remain always satisfied. This is our duty.
You must go, I think. Otherwise we will stay all night.
Thank you very, very much. See you. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.